Welcome to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. I'm Susie Collick, the founder of Pretty Deadly Self-Defense, a self-defense program for women I developed based on my experiences as a violent crime survivor and my 23 years of training in the Japanese art of ninjutsu. I'm going to dive right in. A few episodes ago, I talked about what it's like training self-defense and martial arts with boobs. And I talked a little bit in that episode about sexual arousal in martial arts and self-defense classes. It happens. And in this episode, I'd like to talk about it a little bit more and how the dynamic of sexuality so often plays out, especially for women. So I'm going to start with a story. This isn't my story, but it was shared to me in a black belt forum I participated in a while ago. It takes place in a jujitsu dojo. In this dojo, there was a guy who was the top martial artist. He was the lead student. He wasn't a teacher, but he was the lead student. He had been a member of the dojo for a long time. He was really good, one of those natural athletes, and rose fairly quickly through his belt ranks and had arrived at the point of just being the lead student. He was a good-looking guy. He was young, in his 20s, and quite popular, of course, in the school, as usually what happens with lead students, very charismatic. But he also talked about what a dog he was, meaning that he spent a lot of his time when he wasn't training telling everybody about all the women that he slept with. And it became very evident over the course of time that his views on women were that women were really just objects of desire and sexuality, that they had no value for him in his life at all, other than to satisfy sexual desire. So, okay, he's the star student, he's charismatic, he's good looking, he's a playboy, he is maybe sexist and misogynistic as well. I don't know. He's probably competitive because you need to be a little bit competitive at least to be the top student in your dojo. But he's also a well-loved and popular leader among the rest of the students. Meanwhile, at some point during his training, a woman joins the dojo. Happens with a lot of dojos, women join for a while and then they cycle away. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But this particular woman stayed. And when she first joined, she was terrible. I was terrible too, so no judgment on her. Martial arts can be really difficult to learn. And if you're not someone who is innately athletic or coordinated, you start your first couple of years rolling around the mats like a wooden crate, basically. And that's what this woman was. She was around the same age as these guys, but she kind of kept to herself. She focused on her martial arts training and she was left alone. She was never the target of this lead student's attention. She was too low of a belt for him to really pay attention to. He never really trained with her. And in this particular dojo, the structure was that the upper rank students didn't really have to work with white belts so much. So she could fly completely under the radar and focus only on her training. But as time went on, she trained very diligently and she also rose through the ranks. Of course, with anything, the more you practice, the better you get. So her uncoordination became coordination, and it turns out that she was actually quite good at martial arts or jujitsu in that particular school. At some point, she got close to black belt, and this is when the lead student started paying attention. When she tested for her black belt, his response to her was, "Congratulations, want to go on a date?" And then went on to tell all the other guys what a great piece of ass she would be. So by doing this, this guy achieved two things. A woman that he had completely ignored up until that point, the first time he pays attention to her and the first time she's actually posing a threat to him, he immediately sexualizes her. He immediately objectifies her. And he's already laid the groundwork among everyone in that school that his attention devalues the very thing that he's paying attention to because he holds women in such low value, subhuman, right, as only existing for the point of his sexual pleasure. So by immediately devaluing this woman, he took away all of her achievements. By devaluing her at the same time, he also took away her humanity. This means that she could no longer be a direct threat to him. Because of course, why would you as a human compare yourself to some animal? It's like apples and oranges. We wouldn't have the same set of skills. You can't measure us, right? So as this man was threatened, his place in the dojo, his prowess as the best martial artist in the school, as that started to become threatened, he reverted to what most commonly is reverted to, especially regarding women, although sometimes it is directed at other genders as well, which is now you are only sex. That's all you are. You're not even a thing anymore. You're only something that exists for other people's pleasure. It is very weaponized. And of course, it's very dehumanizing and demeaning. And it is a cheap shot. It's a clear indicator that someone is feeling threatened. But at the same time, it also ensures that they will never be challenged. Or if they are challenged, they can always excuse that challenge with, well, that person isn't even fully human. So there's no real challenge there. The reason that I'm talking about this is because, again, this is not my story. This did not happen to me. What does happen to so many women in self-defense and in martial arts and in life in general, when we are immediately sexualized, it changes the competition. There's a lot of women lately on TikTok who are talking about, or they're kind of putting forth a theory about how they believe men are actually very jealous of women or encouraged to compete with women. These women who are talking about this tend to be in North America and a few in England. So I don't know if that would be the same sense for women in other countries as well. But as someone who comes from North America, I can definitely support that theory. The idea that men compete with us whenever we achieve something close to what they have is super toxic. When it comes to self-defense, it has no place. But I've seen it even in self-defense schools, and I've absolutely seen it on the mats in martial arts. The way that I was trained in martial arts is when I am training at a school that is not my own, or I'm joining a school that isn't the one I come from, I start as a white belt. I tell them my rank in my school of origin, but I start as a white belt out of respect for that system. The problem is that people tend to judge you by the color of your belt. So if I'm training with someone who really is brand new and I'm wearing a white belt, but I'm good at all the techniques, if that's a guy, he's angry and he starts competing with me. But he starts competing with me through power because he's new and he doesn't really understand how the techniques work from just a pure functional way. That puts me in a lot of danger. If I defend myself at my full power, I will most likely look like I've beaten up a white belt and haven't been transparent with my actual rank. It's kind of an impossible situation. I've seen it as well in self-defense where women who are naturally athletic, who may be able to adapt to a technique really quickly, poses a threat to a trainer who maybe spent 20 years learning how to do anything or earning their rank and their black belt, and suddenly somebody comes along, especially as a woman, and they're naturally good at it. Egos come into play all the time. That's normal because we're human. But in terms of sexualizing women or anybody, immediately sexualizing someone, immediately objectifying them, immediately dehumanizes them and takes away not only everything that they've trained for and everything that they've learned, but it also takes away their own sense of agency and confidence. I really recommend that you watch yourself. If you're a trainer listening to this, and even if you're someone who's learning martial arts or self-defense, if you're doing this too, we don't tend to be aware that we're doing it. Not everybody is like that guy in the story, but we really want to make sure that if we're training, especially self-defense, that everyone is getting an equal opportunity to learn how to defend themselves. You have been listening to the Pretty Deadly Podcast. You can learn more about who we are and what we do and how to find a Pretty Deadly course near you by visiting our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com. And if you're a fitness or martial arts pro and you'd like to enhance your instructor skills, our certification programs are open for enrollment, and you can find them on our website at prettydeadlyselfdefense.com/selfdefensetrainer, all one word. This podcast is produced by Zynga Network for Pretty Deadly, recorded in Berlin, and our original music is the track Icarus Wish by Berlin band Dead Centuries, used with permission of the artists.